Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batts with Professor H.A. Mackinder, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. We head to Beijing. Beijing is troubled by its inability to reorganize its business plan. Why? Foreign capital has left the building. Beijing has imposed a surveillance state that is extremely unattractive to foreign investment. At the same time, Beijing's manufacturing is dipping below 50. That means contraction, because as in the United States, those who prosper during the pandemic are realizing that Americans are not buying so much anymore. There's no more stimulus. There's no more reason to stay home. And we might be entering a recession ourselves. We can't tell. Beijing has a manufacturing-only model. It doesn't work because it was built on bad banking, because we've learned that the property bubble collapse is not causing the bad banking. The bad banking is causing the property bubble collapse and the manufacturing. Beijing built its business plan on bad credit. It's not that it can't pay it. It's that it never existed. Professor, Beijing has international relations. I understand that. They're aggressive to all the neighborhood. For some time now, there's been this opinion, and I don't know, at one point it was called the Blob, some foreign policy group in Washington called the Blob. The opinion is that Beijing is watching Ukraine, and Beijing is going to take this chance with the U.S. distracted in Ukraine to pick off either Taiwan or Philippines. They go back and forth. Now the U.S. is doubly distracted by the Gaza war and the tangle with the U.S. Congress. Is Beijing in a position to be aggressive? Because I picture a Xi Jinping come to San Francisco with his hat out.
Well, I think that you're getting at a very basic question I often ask, which is, I see that Beijing has just launched another advanced satellite with a huge launcher. They launched it from Hainan Island, which is the lower right extremity. It's an offshore big island where they all their nuclear subs and high radiation is. So if you go to the beach in Hainan, which is supposed to be their kind of Riviera, wear your lead DVDs or whatever. But if their economy is in the shape that it seems to be, and they are cutting the salaries of Communist Party officials, it's serious. Is this going to have an effect on their ability to wage war? And I think that they're operating in two non-communicating areas. Inside China, it's really hard to describe the lack of order and structure. Li Keqiang, who was he's the last plausible official who could take Mr. Xi's position and arguably do a better job than Xi has. He was the front runner when Hu Jintao retired. And Li is not he's not some kind of a sage king, but he does have a certain amount of compassion and concern over the immense widespread poverty in China, which is something a lot of people are not aware of. But he's the one who went public with the figures. There was a screen capture that is on the internet that is of a Chinese official announcement of Mr. Li's death. And the puzzling thing about the screen capture is that it is date of the press release, of the release, the communique on this, is a day before the death of Li, which is nonetheless the date is given in this release. So how is it that they knew a day before he died that he was going to die? A lot of Chinese are wondering about this. Remember also that China right now has not had a minister of defense or a foreign minister for a number of months, Both of the individuals concerned have been expelled from the party, but we don't know where they are. Suppose that in France or England or Germany or even the United States, suppose that Mr. Austin disappeared and somebody else came in and there was no word about what had happened to Mr. Austin. Suppose Mr. Blinken disappeared and there was no discussion whatsoever of what had happened to him. And this went on for months. This would indicate to all of us that something was terribly wrong. Yet somehow we don't grasp it for China. On the night before Mr. Li's funeral, and she went to the funeral, he led the funeral. It was described, the streets of Beijing, Chang'anjie, along the main street through that goes past Tiananmen and the palace, was this main street was it was just serried ranks of Chinese army troops and armored vehicles and so forth, as they say in Chinese, as if they were expecting to meet a great enemy. Yet it was just a funeral. Now, when was the last time that France or Berlin or London or Washington or Tokyo had the army out guarding the downtown? Something is clearly wrong there. Well, having said that, so we have a sense that inside China, there's really nobody who is in a position to take decisions. Yet at the same time, they are provoking problems with Philippines. Now, the Philippines are now, they're forming an alliance, what the Japanese call a quasi-alliance, because Japan cannot have alliances under their constitution. They're deploying advanced Japanese radars. Japan has already given them something like a dozen maritime patrol vessels. And we're getting a very, very tough kind of a pact between Philippines and Japan. This is most unwelcome, but China can't do anything about it. And we are a treaty ally of Philippines. So if China keeps pushing on the Philippines, they may get themselves into a war. But when it comes to the Middle East, China has been seeking, rather like Russia, to use this as an opportunity to get back into the international system. Like Russia, they can offer to the states that are opposed to Israel in the Middle East. And that's really all the states now. One of the effects of this war has been that states like Saudi Arabia and others, Lebanon, which was one of the Jordan, and Egypt, which were signatories of the first Middle East peace, the first states to come make peace with Israel. It's now all up for grabs. We're basically back to 1967 when it comes to the ultimate shape of Middle East peace. All the seeming progress that was made in breaking up the anti-Israeli alliance has been reversed, and all of those states are now allied in some fashion against Israel. China is trying to get into that. Well, what can they do? Like Russia, they can supply weapons. And what I would expect would be that the level of armament that the Muslims and the Arab states and the Iranians, the Persian state, have is going to increase. And this is inevitably going to make life more and more difficult for the Israeli defense forces. The Israelis are among the most advanced, the most disciplined, the most resourceful, and really the bravest of any of the resort of the armies in the world. They're extraordinary. Their problem is they've only got about 700,000 men. If you do the math, the number of Jews in Israel is only about 7.5 million, and the states that we're dealing with are all much, much bigger than Israel. Israel is smaller than Massachusetts. It's a very small place, and no matter how high-powered and brave its population is, it can't take on everybody. And as the Arabs gradually begin closing the gap militarily, and they can do this with, the Russians sending this S-300 anti-aircraft system, which there's talk of going to Lebanon, this is actually very, very good, and we're scared of it. And everybody should be scared of it. But this will mean that the conflict will not be resolved, but the potential bloodshed and horror of any war will be greatly increased. And the probability or the possibility that large numbers of Israelis will be killed goes up. And this is the great danger. But this is the place. This is the niche into which Russia and China, this is the tunnel, as it were, through which Russia and China can re-enter the international system after essentially being frozen out until this war began. And then, although they can't transform it, they can't lead to their side winning. They can sow discord in the ranks of those who those who are, say, supporting Israel or who are supporting Ukraine. They can sow discord, and it can make things much, much more difficult. They can increase the friction. They can throw caltrops. I mean, this is very, very bad indeed. And unless we reach for peace, which is the point that I'm going to make in a second, there is a real danger that we're going to get a very ghastly situation, which is destructive for all parties.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Six Capitals, Six Points of View. We're headed to the leader of NATO. I'm John Batchelor.